We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, the Sabres lost to the Golden Knights 4-1 last night. If you didn't stick through the whole game, Jonathan Marchessault scored two goals. William Karlsson scored his first goal of the season and had two assists. Marc-Andre Fleury made 26 saves. Vladimir Sobotka scored Buffalo's only goal, and Carter Hutton made 25 saves. The Lightning defeated the Hurricanes 4-2 last night. Craig Gervais owes me $80. Tyler Johnson scored his fourth regular season hat trick and his second against Carolina. Yanni Gourde scored. Louis Domingue made 38 saves in his first start of the season. The Oilers won in overtime 5-4 against the Jets last night. Connor McDavid had two goals and two assists. Darnell Nurse scored with 1:25 into overtime for the win, and Cam Talbot made 29 saves. Connor McDavid became the first player in NHL history to factor on 9 consecutive team goals to begin a season, breaking the record of 7 set by Adam Oates with the Red Wings back in 86-87. So that's a 31-year record. The Bills will be practicing today as they prepare to play the Colts on Sunday. Tune into One Bills Live at noon with John Murphy and Steve Tasker for a live practice update with Bills insider Chris Brown. Meanwhile, rookie quarterback Josh Allen is listed as week-to-week with a sprained elbow that he suffered in the Bills' loss to the Texans. The Raiders have released veteran linebacker Derek Johnson. Johnson had registered 17 tackles and no sacks in 6 games, and this was his first season with the Raiders after spending 13 with the Chiefs. And the Redskins released veteran defensive lineman Ziggy Hood. The team announced yesterday Hood had only played 48 snaps so far this season, with 37 in the first 2 games, as the Redskins have opted to play younger players in that position. And the Red Sox won last night over the Astros 8-2. And the Dodgers beat the Brewers in baseball. Back over to the legend, Brad Pitt, over here. Craig Rive on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. We're getting stiffed by JR, which is very unlike JR, very undude
of him. He is doing one of two things.
Sleeping.
We do know that he's on the golf course. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's either having the career round and he cannot disturb the mental part of his game. Okay.
The laser.
The focus.
He's a laser.
Okay.
Focus, yeah.
He's either having a career round or he's having the worst round of all time.
No, I think he'd jump on the horn if he was having the worst round of all time.
Nope.
Try him,
JJ.
Call him.
I don't think he would.
Really?
Yep. I think he's too upset right now.
Yeah, I want you to call him. Give him a try. See if he answers. You want to talk about that Tampa Bay Carolina game?
Not in particular.
Turn back your page. I know you date every page in your book. What did I say in the Riverboat Gambling Trip, Boys Trip Casino? Riverboat. The Old Man Riverboat Casino.
Yeah, you took Tampa Bay.
River.
You took Tampa Bay at 180.
Yeah.
You only went 100.
Okay. People remembered
you
that.
You felt
Twitter.
Very strong about that.
Well,
and I felt very strong about Carolina squeaking something out.
Here's what I love. You came in with Captain Obvious yesterday and you go, I like Tampa Bay at home. Well, they've only played 3 games all year and they were 2-1 at home. So odds are they're pretty good at home. Like, they hadn't played a road game. So you can't say that you don't like them on the road. Okay, but anyway, that's Carolina right. Got off to an early start, 1-0, and then my boys took over. But anyway, keep your money. It's fine. It was a friendly bet. It was just it's the ability to be able to come on here and just say you're wrong. It's
buy
like
you lunch.
It's like speaking
I'd rather
of lunch,
not say I'm wrong. I'm just going to buy you lunch. Okay?
Speaking of lunch, I cannot get over what you ordered yesterday. I cannot get over what this man ordered yesterday at lunch. I did not realize I got to know where.
Salad,
I know,
salad in, and.
Yeah, a salad of a sausage on a bun with a double cheeseburger and onion rings, I think. But that's a story for a different day. So Sabres played last night. They lost 4-1 in Vegas. Not the best effort. We kicked that one around enough in the first hour. But I think just simply saying we weren't happy with the effort last night, I think to say the least. I don't think anybody would. Let me ask you this, because I feel like we steered away from it, though, when we were talking about it in the first hour.
Yep.
What's Housley saying in that locker room after the game? Is that a game where, because you know as well as I do, there are games where you lose games, and there are games where you lose games in embarrassing fashion, sometimes worse than last night.
Yeah.
And the coach will come in, and he just won't say anything. Like, he just won't say anything. He doesn't point fingers. He throws a generic statement out there. He makes everybody feel like he's talking to them.
Yeah.
Then there's the coach that comes in. This could be the same coach that has the ability. A good coach can do both, by the way, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
And and they come in and they start to center guys out. And I'm not asking you to tell me who and why they centered him out, but is last night a night where Phil Housley might have said enough is enough? Because we're only six games in, and I don't think they've played that poorly up to this point.
Yeah, I would, me personally, the way I would do things, I would be centering guys out. And this is not for a negative, like, you are the guy who made the mistake or you're the reason why we lost. I'm not afraid to single guys out. You made a mistake. We're going to watch the video. We're going to watch the tape, and we're going to learn from this. They made mistake on their penalty kill, okay? That's the first and foremost, which created an opportunity for Vegas on their first goal. Vegas capitalized. Power play, second period. Sam Reinhart gave the puck away at the offensive blue line. They weren't even in the zone yet, and he was trying to make a play, which, listen, that's what talented players do. They try and make plays. But there's a time and a place to make certain plays, okay? Giveaway, puck goes down the other end, puck's in the net. Third goal, Rasmus Dahlin has to get under his guy that he's boxing out in front of the net. You don't have to move the man. You have to get his stick, because that's the most dangerous part of that player standing in front, because he can redeflect. Rasmus Dahlin did not get under the stick. Therefore, it gave an opportunity for a redeflect in the net. They made some plays that they just need to go and watch video. They need to try and figure things out. This is a team that they need to be better. No, you're not bagging them today. You're going to have a good high tempo practice. Probably keeping it a little bit shorter. They're on the road. They've had some travel. You're not bagging guys. This is about trying to learn. You're trying to get better. You're trying to focus on things that you need to get better. But don't be afraid to sit there and say, listen, certain guys use their names. It's okay. It's constructive criticism, trying to make these guys better.
So power play, oh my, 0-for-8.
No, 0-for-6. We got
no,
that.
No, it says right here.
I know. And then you came back to me and said
no,
it was.
No, it says right here.
I understand.
That's not
that.
Where I got that from. But then on the NHL site, it says 0-for-6.
Okay. Well, one of them's wrong. 0-for-6, 0-for-8.
Well, this one says 0-for-8. So let's go with that. Makes for a better story. Right? Because we're in media.
Well, listen, in order to win hockey games, certainly on the road.
0-for-8's worse.
Certainly on the road. You need to have your specialty teams be great. If your specialty teams are not great, you will not win games on the road. That is absolutely 100%. And, they have to figure out what they can do to be successful on that power play. They have to figure it out. And once they do, they're going to give themselves a better chance.
Two guys can walk out of that game last night in the Sabres feeling pretty good about themselves. Who and why? Because if I'm these guys, I'm happy. That's just kind of teammate I guess I was.
Kalaposo.
Nope. No, let's see. Why would
I thought Kalaposo played
very well.
Oh, yeah,
you know
what?
He could be. He had an assist, and he was even. Yes, Kalaposo, absolutely. And you did say that earlier, Kalaposo. And I wasn't saying no because I disagreed. I was saying no because that's not who I'm thinking about. But, yeah, okay, Kalaposo. I mean, realistically, nobody should be feeling good collectively as a team, but who should be feeling pretty good about
Sobotka. Scored his first yep. goal. You got to yep. give him. He's a great shot
hits.
On net from Poso, which is a drag and shoot. And Sobotka went to the net hard, which is that's what you have to do. You have to get in front of the net, banging these pucks, and it doesn't always have to be the pretty goal.
Okay, keep going. Who else? Do you want to use my stat sheet, or do you want me to just tell you?
Go ahead
is
and
this
tell
killing
me.
You? Jake McCabe, one assist plus one. Okay.
Yep.
And Nate Beaulieu, no points, but even. I mean, I'm making.
All right. Well,
no points, but plus one. Plus one.
Literally pulling teeth right
now.
No points,
but
try and
one.
Find a.
I'm not. I'm being sarcastic, Riv. I'm being sarcastic. Don't be so serious. We didn't play last night.
You know what?
You don't have to take this one on the chin so hard.
I don't like your sarcasm.
Everybody's upset about this one today, Riv. No one's feeling good about themselves.
Well,
you want to put this to bed?
Yeah, listen, I mean, there's not much that we can sit there and talk about in this game with the Sabres. They had one of the worst first periods I've seen in a long time. They had dead legs. They just weren't sharp. I mean, they weren't prepared for an extremely fast, tenacious Vegas Golden Knights team. And on top of that, Vegas Golden Knights having three of their top players out. Nate Schmidt, who's suspended for 20 games. You have Alex Tuck, who is their best power play net front presence. He's a huge part of their offense. And Stastny. I mean, they're missing three elite guys on that lineup. So
this isn't one, just to wrap this one up, this isn't one that I would say you just throw it away and say bad game. I mean, there are those games that you have, and they happen. Boston, for example, against Washington at the start of the year is exactly what that was for Boston. Like, just forget it and throw it away. This isn't one of those. This is one where I think, like you said, you know, things have got to be addressed. You know, maybe you don't bag skate them or whatever, but you gotta show the tape and maybe be a little critical on this one. All right. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Like, you got to learn from these games, and you got to hope that these guys take in the information, so next time the same situation happens, they don't make the same mistake. And you know, it's just about watching. It's about watching the tape, seeing the tape, working on things that they can get it better at. These guys that are on the power play, they need to be better. They have to be better. So you get in a room together and you figure out plays that you can use that are going to be dangerous. But you got to do it collectively, and you know, you got to watch tape and you got to figure it out.
Around the NHL, we talked about it a little bit this morning. Someone in the back asked the question, how much does coaching matter in New Jersey? They win 3-0 last night. They're off to a great start. We were talking yesterday about the I can't, forgive me for getting the name wrong, Beyond the Glass or Behind the Glass or whatever it is on the NHL network.
Training camp, right?
Yeah, and they, you know, they were overseas, and John Hines, their coach, they had the whole culture dinner and all that. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I watched it. Yeah. I watched it. It followed around basically John Hines with his family life, being at home, has a couple little girls. You can just tell it was interesting. I was really very impressed 5 minutes in of watching and listening to this guy. He is a no-nonsense guy. He is going to give you a system, and you better do it or you're not going to play. You're not even going to be there. He's very structured in the way that he does things. He wants things done properly. He's got a demeanor of being very stern, but, you know, not knowing him at all, but being that person that just watched and listened, he seems to be fair, but he's going to be extremely hard on the guys. And you know what? Obviously, watching their start to the season, they're 4-0, the only team in the National Hockey League that is 4-0. And I mean, they're a heck of a hockey team.
Do we not give their lineup enough credit? I mean, I guess
I don't think we do.
You forget that Marcus Johansson's there. I think we still underestimate guys like Nosen. Miles Wood, I think, is underestimated. Travis Zajac, I mean, I think he's now appropriately placed in the lineup. He's a third line centerman.
Well, he used
John
to be their
Quenzel,
first line center,
Brian
and now
Boyle
he's older.
On their fourth line, like you know, this who is this Jean Sebastian Dia?
I don't know, but he's scoring.
Does he have
scoring
three,
goals,
three or four goals yep. now? I mean, I just want to know how they're getting it done. I mean, last year we had this team pegged to not make the playoffs at all. This year, I feel like we, and I know it's still early, but I feel like this year we had them pegged to be a team that dropped off to not be as hot because we didn't think Taylor Hall would repeat what he did last year. And didn't they have an injury? Isn't Schneider hurt?
Yeah, their number one goaltender's out.
Hurt, and Kincaid's been rocking. I mean,
and they've had four goals scored against them in the first four games. So what do they care about? They have all their guys that have tons of skill, but they care about defense first. They're extremely structured, playing defense. Defense translate into more offense. If you have guys that care about defense, it will translate into offense. I guarantee it. And New Jersey's showing that.
Okay.
The most important thing is to take offensive players, offensive gifted players, and get them to buy into playing defense. If you can get them to buy into playing defense, then you, once they're on the offense, you just release them. You release them and let them use their God-given skills to produce and create things offensively. But when you're back-checking and when you're in the defensive zone, you better have these offensive players all play defense.
Another head-scratcher league-wide. You got Brock Besser, and that's the OT winner, and they beat the Penguins. Vancouver's won three straight. I have no idea what's going on there. I feel like they don't get enough love either.
I'm just trying to figure out
what's going on in Pittsburgh.
Look at the gap. Did you just watch this play here? So this is Brock Besser coming into the zone against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Number one, it is incredible the gap control on the defense. That's number one. They were standing at least 15 feet inside their blue line, standing still, allowing Brock Besser with speed to cut across the blue line and then rip a shot. Like, this is just not the way you play defense. You're going to give a guy like this, one of the best shooters in the game, all that time and space to shoot? Not the way that you play defense.
When do you see Pittsburgh's kingdom starting
decline?
Yeah, because I'm always fascinated.
See it now.
You do.
I see it now. Listen, 2 years ago they struggled. They ended up making the playoffs because they had a good end of the season. Last year was the same thing. They weren't great until the later part of the year. Okay, I mean they're not the same team as what they used to be. And they have a lot of the same pieces. Hornquist is there. You know, you have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Rust, Kessel. A lot of these guys are there from the years that they won, and it's almost like they just need a shakeup.
Well, they're rolling with a backup right now because Murray's hurt. But still, I mean, you still can score goals. And I guess my question is, like, how long do they expect a guy like Phil Kessel? Hornquist, like these guys, to just continue to carry the load. I mean, when do Malkin and Crosby? I mean, Crosby probably, but is Malkin going to finish? Will he be a lifer in Pittsburgh, or don't you think that they'll at some point maybe see the light and say, "Hey, like we may not be."
At what point do you make an organizational decision?
It's going to
be one of the hardest decisions ever. But at what point do you make a decision to say, we have to move one of these elite players? Sidney Crosby, who's making 8.75, I think he's going to be a lifer in Pittsburgh. But Evgeny Malkin, who, believe me, I think is one of the greatest players in the last 10 years, at what point do you think about possibly moving him where he still has stock in his game?
How can they? Can they move these guys? Like, and I don't mean like, can they, like, would somebody want them? I just mean from the standpoint of popularity, from the standpoint of what they've meant to the franchise.
Crosby's
like,
one.
What we're
Crosby's
seeing right now
won,
in Pittsburgh is
Malkin,
Lemieux Yager to us, right? Like, that's back in the 90s. This is Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr just happens to be in the same team. Like, to me, it's absolutely incredible.
At what point, what do you think that you realistically could get? Like, if you're looking to trade away Evgeny Malkin, you're looking to make a significant move for the future of your hockey team in Pittsburgh.
I don't see
and I don't have a problem with that. I think he still has a lot of very good years in him, and that's why his stock is going to be so high. You don't think that there's teams in this league that would give up a tremendous amount? Look at what Matt Duchene got for Colorado. You're talking Evgeny Malkin, a guy who's won three Stanley Cups. He's won scoring titles. Last year, he had how many points?
Who, Malkin?
Yeah.
98.
Only 98. So
78 games.
At what point do you think about possibly moving a player of this stature to try and gain you know, assets that's going to help this team move forward for years to come.
Is that the piece, or is it other guys? Do they chip away around that? Like, you're never going to move Sid. I mean, Gretzky was traded. That's the everyday, yeah. You know, hey, I'll never say it's impossible because Gretzky was traded. Well, that different era, but
yeah.
Crosby's 5 games, 4 assists. You're never trading Sid.
I don't think you're ever trading Sid, but what about, you know, Phil Kessel? I mean, is there a point that you start to kind of go in a different direction and try and get younger? They have a lot of players on Pittsburgh that are getting, I shouldn't say getting old, because, you know, Phil Kessel at 30 is not old, or Evgeny Malkin or Sidney Crosby, Hornquist, they're all aging. Okay. They're all in their 30s.
Crosby is 31. Okay, Crosby's 31. He's probably got a 45-year-old body with the beating he's taken, the amount of games. Like, I'm sitting here, and I'm not waiting for this because I love Sidney Crosby, and I love watching him. And you have to be careful when you start to question Sidney Crosby's play, because all of a sudden he goes on a 20-game point streak. But, you know, I'm looking at him now. He has 0 goals and 4 assists. I just wonder, like, when is this poor guy going to run out of gas? When's he going to run out of gas? And I feel like we have this conversation every year because his engine just keeps going. Yeah. And I can continue to go back, and I probably can remember the numbers that we did last year with how much hockey he's played over the last 5 years.
So how old's Crosby right now?
Just turned 31 in August.
And Derek Brassard, who is another centerman, third line center, is 31. You have Matt Cullen, who's 40. There's a lot of players.
Who was the first guy you said?
Carl Hagelin is 30. Patrick Hornquist is 31. Phil Kessel is 31.
Malkin, in today's game, that's a lot of old bones, man.
It's absolutely. Malkin's 32. I mean, this is an aging hockey
Look
team.
Look at Toronto. Kadri in his mid-20s. Marner, Nylander if he ever signs. Matthews. Yeah. Who am I leaving out? I'm Kasperi Kapanen. Could be in the Pittsburgh lineup, but they used him to get Kessel. So, I don't know. My question is, there's going to be a time, and it will be a sad time for hockey, but when? When does that time happen for Crosby? I mean, could this be the year?
Well, listen, you're the only way you're going to move, let's say a player like Evgeny Malkin, the only reason you're going to move him is because you believe that your window of opportunity to win now is over. Now there's possibly new players or new teams that have emerged, like a Toronto Maple Leafs, with this young, talented, hungry, and you believe that your stars, Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Letang, are now, because they've won 3 Stanley Cups together, now are on their decline. You might want to move one of those guys to restock the cupboard with prospects and draft picks.
I'll be honest with you. I honestly thought we'd be having this conversation this year about Chicago, but we're not. They're 3-0-2, but I still, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I would have thought that after all the games, the players in Chicago, I mean, they've had star players. Yeah. They lost Hossa. You know, when do they start to have the same kind of
conversation? Well, you know, in Chicago, they're either winning the Stanley Cup or they make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. So
from
in those times
out?
That they're missing, no, they're last year they missed the playoffs, right?
Yeah, and that was
now
the first
all of a sudden
a
it's given a Kane who's not what is he 20 be around 29 or
I know where you're going with this.
He's had an opportunity to heal that body, recharge the batteries. Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, guys like that, guys that are a little bit older, Duncan Keith, Seabrook. Now all of a sudden they get back their goaltender, which is extremely important, and Corey Crawford. And now all of a sudden you have a Chicago Blackhawks team that is a more dynamic, stronger team, because they still their star players in Toews and Kane are not old. They're aging, but they're not old. Okay, so they're still hungry. Pittsburgh, I just think is a few years beyond what Chicago is, because of the age of a lot of their elite players.
It's interesting.
It's going to be a time. Knock down the dynasty and start to kind of rebuild, not tear everything down. But if you have a team, if you have a player like Evgeny Malkin and you have a Sidney Crosby and you have that 1-2 duo, at some point Evgeny Malkin's 32 years old. If you feel that you cannot win the Stanley Cup, at what point do you start to trade this guy away for first-round draft picks and top-end players from another team? There's ways of stocking the cupboard, and maybe that would spark the Pittsburgh Penguins moving forward.
I feel like L.A. is one of those teams. I feel like they exploded for a couple years because they had players in that right time of their career.
That's right.
And then, you know, these other teams that we're talking about, Pittsburgh and
How
Chicago.
How old's Brown now?
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh and Chicago have had higher talented, maybe more players, younger players, but yep. L.A. just kind of came in, you know, crashed a couple playoffs, won two cups, and now they're, you know, they've been out, they've been in, they've been out, they've been in. So it's interesting. All right, still waiting on a potential Jeremy Roenick sighting. I feel like we totally got ditched today, but he's on the golf course. So, I mean, I guess, you know, there's a love greater in JR's life more than the Instigators. We'll be right back with the buy, sell, trade poll presented by Buffalo Sports and the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Buy, sell, trade, Riv. If you were golfing with Mark Messier, would you call the show?
Absolutely not, 100%.
So JR confirmed he probably won't be calling today. He is on the course.
What did I tell you? We knew he was on the golf course, and there's two reasons why he is not calling in. Number one, he's having a career day and literally killing it. Number two, he's having the worst day ever, and he's so ticked off right now that he's not calling in.
So I said, yo, and he said, sorry, I'm down. Let me read it to you. He goes, what did he say?
I'm down three after four holes.
I'm three down after four. Messier. So I wrote, is that Mark, Joby, or Eric Messier? Damn, auto-corrected to Joey. So he's got to be sitting there going, who the hell is Joey Messier? It's not Joey Messier, it's Joby. Okay. Anyway, buy, sell, trade. So you're selling that.
What's buy, sell, trade?
Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. There's a Twitter poll. It's at WGR550 on Twitter. And buy, sell, trade is presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. I just snagged a pair of graphs for my kid. Ribs is against the grass because it has the fluorescent green G in the corner, the bottom toe on the side of the pinky. I happen to love it. My kid loved it, so I got him for him. All right, buy, sell, trade. Star players in the NHL are underpaid. Pierre LeBrun, we had a little bit of a conversation about this earlier, but the NHL system is flawed. Top players are underpaid. McDavid should be getting $20 million a year, but it's not the system culture that exists. Pros and cons to that, but all I can say in my humble opinion is that the elite NHLers don't get what they should for what they bring in. Buy, sell, trade, star players in the NHL are underpaid. I totally understand this tweet.
I totally understand the tweet, too.
Okay.
And what is your feeling on the tweet?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, Craig. I just assumed you were going to take the lead on this one because I feel like I ask the questions, you answer them. What do I think on this?
Like you have something to say here.
Well, I mean, depending, like, what sport are you comparing it to? NBA, where they have nine players on their payroll? The, you know, Major League Baseball, where, you know, I mean, what do they have, a luxury tax? And, you know, NFL that has, like, a ridiculous TV contract and revenues that are just unbelievable. This is what is fair and fits the current CBA. I mean, when you talk about 50-50 split in the revenues and, you know, an $80 million salary cap and having a player only being able to make maximum 20% of the team's salary cap, I mean, then that's what's written in the CBA. But these guys aren't going to go out and try and separate themselves from the union and try to bring in more money. This is what the star players signed up for. This, I mean, the star players are the game. I mean, when they signed that deal back in 05, 06 or 04, 05, it was, hey, we need help from the star players in rebuilding this game and getting your faces out there. You look at the commercials that they do at all-star games back in the mid-2000s with Crosby and Ovechkin, you know, playing knock-knock games. And, you know, you got.
So you alluded to Tiger Woods at the early part
earlier
of the show.
Part
I don't even know
show,
if it was on air or off.
Yeah, it was on air. I said, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, basically, I think was demanding more money from the PGA because they slapped his face on every tournament he was on. He's like, I'm not the only guy there.
Yeah. So basically what happens is Tiger Woods
he's the draw.
Plays and makes, $8 million a year playing golf?
If he wins. But
if he loses
those tournaments, they're still using his face. He could be number 10 on the leaderboard on Sunday, and they're still coming back with Tiger Woods. Okay. Oh, and by the way, Phil's in the lead.
Okay,
and
do you not think that's benefited him?
But Woods is 10th, but we're still going to show him.
Okay, but do you not think that's benefited him? That's why he's a billionaire. Okay?
Mm. It's benefited his brand, but it was an angle for him to go to try and
his brand is what makes
money
him money.
Someone. Yeah.
His brand is what makes him money. He makes a minimal amount of money, which I shouldn't say minimal. He makes $5-8 million a year playing golf. That's if he
minimal
wins tournament
compared to what he brings in.
Okay?
Yearly.
The PGA uses his face to sell the game. That benefits Tiger Woods because then he goes out and reverses that and says. All the endorsement stuff, he's made hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Can I ask you a question?
And he should be thanking the PGA.
Okay, he should be thanking the PGA. Let me ask you this. Right now, today,
yes.
After that FedEx Cup run that Tiger Woods just played, and I heard you guys raving about the fans following him and everything, and
yes.
Golf is back, baby. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, the only time I ever watched golf was a red shirt and black pants on Sunday. It was the only time I ever tuned into golf. Silver
yes.
tip belt, didn't agree with that. That's fine.
Okay.
My point is, if Tiger Woods, maybe not the Masters, exclude a major,
okay.
If Tiger Woods were to play a practice round and televise it on pay-per-view, I would rather watch that than watch Ricky Fowler, Scott Page maybe. I could be Scott something, Adam Scott,
okay.
Gretzky's
one of those guys.
Son-in-law.
Yep. Dustin Johnson.
Okay. VJ Singh.
So what are you trying to say?
Just saying that, I mean, the PGA should be thankful for Tiger Woods, not the other way around, because if Tiger Woods...
Tiger Woods should be thankful that the PGA promotes him, which allows him to make an extreme amount of money. More money than most professional athletes have made
Nike
in the history.
Allows him. I think Nike
no,
allows
it's
him.
It's not just Nike. Do you remember
the
when...
The PGA, as you just said, only allows him to make like $5 million a year in career earnings. His endorsements...
Because you have to win.
Tiger
and then
Woods
he gets
will make
paid.
Endorsement he, money after he's done playing when he's not even putting.
I know, but what I'm talking about is you're talking about the PGA should be giving Tiger something. They shouldn't be giving Tiger something.
No,
he's
no.
selling the
no.
game to a bigger audience. Which
I didn't say that. I used that as an example of how a star player in the sport was looking to get more money and probably had a right to do so. That's all I'm saying. It just goes along with Pierre LeBrun's.
Why should he be making more money?
I don't know. I feel like the PGA probably should have chucked him a few,
so
few bones here or there for the amount of times they slapped his face up on the, hey, Tiger, Tiger's here. Tiger's playing in a tournament that no one's ever heard of.
Okay.
The whatever classic down in, I don't know.
Who cares
where it
is?
I'm trying to be funny. But guess what? No one would be watching that tournament except
for... This young man is like a billionaire.
I understand.
He's
that.
A billionaire not because of his golf earnings. He's a billionaire because of the PGA has smothered his face around the world, okay? And now his endorsement deals are bigger than any professional athlete in the world. So you're going to sit here and tell
yes,
me
but
that
you say it like they were doing Tiger Woods a favor by they didn't have anybody else. You couldn't. There's nobody. Nobody cares. Like Phil Mickelson, these guys all rode Tiger's coattails through his greatness. All these other guys became like names because they could challenge Tiger. You got the battle at Bighorn against a guy that hasn't even won a. Sergio even won a major?
Yes.
Yeah, he's won one, right?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of hype on that guy. But all my point is that like all over the world, these other guys came in behind Tiger Woods. And that's basically, I don't know, I kind of got lost. in my thought there. But
so your thought is that you believe that the PGA should be giving him more money.
PGA would not even be remotely close to what it was, and golf would not be even remotely nearly as possible or popular.
Okay.
If it weren't for Tiger Woods. Period. End of story.
Okay. So I think it worked for both sides, don't you think?
Yeah.
There you go.
But it was great arguing with you.
And now you're talking about Connor McDavid, and we're talking about Connor McDavid in the sense that Pierre LeBrun is saying that the stars of the game should be making more money. Connor McDavid is the highest paid player in the league that's making $12.5 million. The next closest guy to him on the team is making $8.5 million. The next closest guy to that is $6 million. I mean, there's a significant drop off in players. There's the bottom guys are making $650, $675, $800, $800, $925, $1,050,000, $1.5 million. I mean, most of the players on the team are already, they're already making lower end money. How much money do you want to give the stars? You want to give them $20 million a year?
You know what? I would love to know. And I'm sure you could probably figure this out on a team by team basis. Even the league, there has to be there. I guarantee there's a number that I would love to know if you separated each player who generates what. Forget about tickets and stuff like that because, you know, but let's be honest, when Connor McDavid's in town, that team, that home team is going to be charging more money for that ticket. So
I'll tell you right now. So, I mean, I can tell you the number one player prices, in the league right now.
Auston Matthews?
Not even remotely close to anybody else.
Connor McDavid.
No, Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews in his market in Toronto. It's one of the biggest markets in the game.
So wouldn't you love to know what jersey sales are that Matthews is bringing? Like how many people buy Matthews jerseys, Matthews keychains, Matthews t-shirts?
An insane amount. Because
Matthews coffee mugs.
Leaf Nation
is... Spaceballs, the flamethrower.
Leaf Nation is huge.
Lunch boxes.
And they
merchandising.
They sucked for so many years. So many years, I never saw a Toronto Maple Leafs hat, a shirt, a sticker on a car. I never saw it for years when I was.
Well, you saw them on there. They just couldn't peel them off.
Oh, I go back to my hometown in the summertime.
No Leaf hats.
And it is unbelievable. The band, they're just all hanging out the carriage right now. Just woo.
Everyone's got the Leaf cooler on the dock, eh, Rip?
They've got flags hanging out the cars. I mean.
July 1st is blue and white flags, right? Like,
listen, people are driving in their boats, right? People are driving in their boats and they cruise by the dock and you give them the old courtesy wave, you know, as they're creeping out your house And here's the thing. You always have that Canadian flag sticking out the back for some of these boats. But now you have the Canada flag. But on the other side, now there's a Maple Leaf flag. So those people are coming out full force.
The Muskoka chairs are all blue and white. They're Muskoka Auston chairs, Matthews, not Adirondack chairs.
Auston Matthews, I just think in the market that he's in, has to be someone that's generating a lot of money.
I think that would be cool to see a spreadsheet where you have McDavid and how much he makes in jersey sales and merchandise and all that stuff. Matthews, like the big stars.
What did Bob Goodenow say back? This is Bob Goodenow was our chief, our leader of the NHLPA when we went into our first lockout.
What did Dorothy say in The Wizard of Oz? Or whatever the saying is in Wizard of Oz, we're not in Kansas anymore?
We're not in Kansas.
Well, we are in Kansas.
We are in Kansas now. Bob Goodenow, he talked about a certain... saying was, we do not want stars over Kansas, meaning that we don't want the stars of the game consuming all the money and everybody else is going to be fighting for scraps. And Pierre LeBrun is basically saying, you know, there's three guys on a team that should get paid and everybody else should get paid peanuts.
All right, let's do it, Riv. What'd you vote? You can go to at WGR550 to buy, sell, or trade. The NHL's top players are underpaid, and it's presented by Buffalo Sports. So I voted. What did you vote?
I voted to sell this.
Okay, I sold it, too.
I think that, listen, I mean, the stars are going to get a lot of money. The stars are going to get paid a tremendous amount of money. But I also believe that in the game of hockey, you need a full team to have success. Some guys are more important than others. You know, Connor McDavid on Edmonton is more important than, Puljujärvi. But that's why he's getting paid $12 million. That's why he's getting paid $12.5 million. But in order to have success and win championships, you have to have a full team.
All right. Well, 38% buy it, 58% sell it, 4% trade and added a comment. Don't have time to read those. Thank you, Pierre LeBrun, for giving us a great resource for a whole segment. Actually, more than a segment. We spent a lot of time on this today. Derek Anderson, your starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills this Sunday against the Colts. They will be talking about that on One Bills Live coming up at noon. We are coming right back after the break. WGR 550 and MSG.
That hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, Sabres in San Jose tomorrow night. So we'll talk about that. Marty Biron going to join us also at 11:30 tomorrow. Matthew Barnaby, sorry about no Jeremy Roenick today, but we'll get you a score update on how he did against Mark Messier on the golf course today. So we look forward to hearing that. Derek Anderson going to start for the Bills this weekend against the Colts. I'm just going to say this, and we had the talk early in the year, Riv, when we were talking about football. I hurt for Nathan Peterman. I'll say it again. I've read every negative, mean comment about him and his performance and his stats and everything. And I've heard it all. I've read it all, and they're obvious and they're easy.
Yep.
But it's hard to care for a guy when you actually understand, when you see a guy struggling at something like this. I don't know how old he is. 25, 26, 27.
Yeah.
I don't even know, but I don't care how old he is. He doesn't have to, if he's 19 or he's 38. I mean, you hurt for a guy when, these things, because listen, he has parents, he has friends, he has family, he has buddies. There are people that follow his career and, they're rooting for him. And, and then you have the feeling of the letdown of your team and your fans and your city and your owners and your coaches. And I mean, you feel like you think he needs your weight and burden. And so I hurt for Nate Peterman. I'm not afraid to say it. I know a lot of people want to run him out of town, but I think that's unfair. But, I'm looking forward to seeing what Derek Anderson can do. Maybe it's not my place to say that, but I guess reading some of the comments the other day, I just...
A little bit older guy,
care.
35 years old, been around, been in the league for a number of years, so it's going to be interesting to see how he can grab this team and pull them together.
It'll be interesting to see what the Sabres do in between games to get ready for San Jose, another tough opponent. As I mentioned, Marty Biron will join us hopefully tomorrow, poolside somewhere, probably not. What's San Jose like this time of year?
It's going to be probably 70s, 60s.
Jumbo's out? Can we get Jumbo?
Jumbo had an infection in his knee.
Can
so
we talk?
He's been out for a couple weeks.
Can you see if we can get Jumbo on tomorrow? Just a 5-minute, how's it going? How's the body? How's the beard? How's your wife like you more without the beard? I have to imagine that was a big thing at home for him.
Yeah.
The wife. His wife.
I can't believe that she put up with that for that long.
I can't either.
She's
I can't
a gamer,
believe
though.
Brent Burns has been able to do that. I mean, that basically gives any woman free reign to leave. It does. I don't care. It's absolutely true. Instigators, Andrew, Craig, we'll be back tomorrow, game day. And Steve Tasker and John Murphy will take over from noon to 3. One Bills Live coming up. Derek Anderson, the starter for the Bills. WGR 550 and MSG. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.